no longer slaves to fear. We are no longer slaves to fear. Well, I'm going to read a scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul was like Timothy's spiritual father. He said, I begot you in the faith, he said. And Timothy was having a tough time in the church, leading the church. He was a young man coming against a lot of opposition for the strong message that he was preaching to people that were, certain of them were from the Jewish faith and others were Gentiles, and there was a lot of argument. And he was caught in the middle of this contention, and he was getting fearful about it all. Paul writes to him and says, when I call to mind the genuine faith that is in you, I want to remind you to stir up that gift that is within you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of an ordered mind. The spirit of fear was activated when Adam, for the first time, felt separated from God. Adam didn't know what it felt like to be separated. But he was tempted because of a threefold lie from the Prince of Darkness. The potential was in every human being, right from Adam. Humanity of a lower order than God, of course, had a flaw. No matter how perfect Adam looked, how perfect Eve looked, how beautiful was the relationship that they had with the Father, because they were less than God, the flaw was the capacity to feel separate from God, to feel like they were their own person. And that had to be challenged. And so what the devil did in the book of Genesis, he said this to them, God does not want the best for you. God does not want you to succeed. God is not fair. He sowed that lie. And the mindset of separation all of a sudden was activated. And that is part of humanity. It's a mindset of separation. It was always there. And then that caused them to fall into the trap of darkness. That threefold lie about God knows that the day that you eat of that tree that he told you not to eat from, you'll be like him. Has God really said that, putting doubt in their minds? He doesn't want you to eat that, because then you'll be like him, to know the difference between good and evil. Well, they fell for it. They felt deprived. They felt that God had deprived them, did not want the best for them, and that was unfair. That's what they felt. And they're the three basic fears that humanity has. Fear of rejection, somebody not wanting the best for you. the fear of failure, that you might fail in life and not succeed, and the fear of injustice, the three basic ones, rejection, failure, and injustice. From those three basic fears, all other emotional fears come. So what darkness does, it tries to sow the spirit of fear into our human spirit by provoking a mindset of separation from God. Now, that's all the devil can do. He can make you feel separate. We all have the capacity to do that. Even Jesus had the capacity to feel separate. But he overcame because he knew he was one with his Father. He was able to touch the presence of his Father. He knew who he was. He said, I know who I am, I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going. But he had to get tempted, didn't he? And if he didn't have that potential, then he wouldn't have been tempted. He wouldn't have been human. But he was. But he maintained his oneness with the Father. That means peace, the peace of being one with God. Now, we are no longer slaves to that mindset of fear, of separation. It will be there, always working to try and get us to separate ourselves into an independence, to be able to maintain our own life, our own way, in our own strength, with our own devices, our own defense mechanisms, our own ways to find and to seek and to find advantage in life, even over other people. That is there. But it's because of separation and not trusting that God is looking after all things concerning us. And that's where fear springs from. And we're no longer slaves to that. We have a choice. And this scripture here that Paul said to Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. It's a spirit. It hits our human spirit. But he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of an ordered mind. We have the spirit of power. We read a scripture last week from Luke chapter 8 about a woman who was sick, and she was in a crowd. Jesus was in the midst, and she reached out and touched Jesus. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. He said, I felt power going from me. Now, he was in a crowd, everybody was touching him. And the disciples said, but everybody's pressing in on you. And he said, no, somebody deliberately touched me. Now, what that means is that she deliberately believed totally who he was, that he was the Lord of all creation. She broke through that lie of separation that her mind would have been telling her, don't do this silly thing. Look at you. Do you think he's going to take any notice of you? She broke through that mindset, and it is a mindset. We retreat into self. How am I going to get myself out of this? She had tried everything else. This time she broke through and she reached out. She just touched his garment. And power flowed from Jesus to her. That's what happens. When we touch God, power flows from him to us. But what does it mean to touch God? He's not here anymore, is he? On the earth, like he was then. Physically, she had to touch him. Touching God, touch is a physical sense. There are five senses. Touch is one of them. Sight is another one. Hearing is another one. But there are also spiritual senses, just like that, five spiritual senses. And the sense of spiritual sight is faith. Blessed are they that believe but see not. We see with eyes of faith. That's the spiritual sense of the physical sense of sight is faith. It's just believing. The spiritual sense of hearing is getting a revelation and an understanding that God is. We know, we hear, and that actually causes us to want to be part of what he's doing. It is like hearing is part of getting an understanding, a revelation of, wow, God, you're real. And you're including me in your will and purpose. That's when a person hears God, that's when they can sing Amazing Grace. It's happened. That's when they can say, I was blind, but now I see. They can see with faith. They can hear the God and get an understanding of what he's saying to their hearts. So they are physical senses translated into spiritual senses. But what's the sense of touch spiritually? Well, the sense of touch spiritually is closeness, the presence of God. See, everybody was there. A whole lot of people were close to him. God is with everybody in the universe. Paul said to the unbelievers in Greece, he said, he's not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. But unless you reach out to touch deliberately by faith, and believe by saying, I believe I'm in your presence, and I believe that you're with me, and I believe I'm not separated, then you're not touching God. You're not using the sense of touch. And when anybody reaches out to touch God and say, Lord, I believe you're here. I don't have to feel you. I just believe you're here. My faith reaches out and it touches. And I believe that when I touch you, power flows from you to me. That is a spiritual flow of faith. You have that capacity because of the power that is within you, which I will have. That when you reach out and lay hands, something flows. We're told to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why lay hands? You don't have to. But that symbolizes that touching, that release of something that flows from you because you're touching God and through you God touches other people. That's what touch is. It's simply, I'm here, I'm present, I haven't gone away. And we can know that he's there all the time. But we touch him by faith. We reach out. That touch reinforces the next thing. He's given us the spirit of power and he's given us the spirit of love. Not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. The spirit of love. That power of his presence is love. When your heart connects by faith with the reality that God is present, even though you don't see him. It doesn't necessarily have to be a sentimental surge of emotional love that you get. There's a love that is so close and so intimate that it's just a sense of being warmly embraced and securely cared for. It doesn't have to gush or do anything. It just senses, I am safe, I am secure, I am loved. That presence wants you to know that you're loved. And that's a warmth. Love is the most creative power in the universe. It was the love of God that created everything. He was totally complete in himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had complete love. But there's something about love. It is compelled not just to want to give things. Love is compelled to share what it has with others. The difference between giving something to somebody and sharing something with somebody is if you give something to somebody, they can say thank you and walk off with it. And that's okay. A lot of people do that. And you don't say, hey, I gave that to you. Where are you going? You've given it to them. Let them go. They've got it. But when you share something with somebody, you've got to hang around. Hey, this is ours. Do you know that the greatest love wants to share? It loves to give, but it delights mostly in sharing, saying, let's have this together. That's what God's love is with us. It's not just about giving and I'll see you later. Hope you enjoy that gift. It is, I'm coming with you. It wants to share the best that it has. I want you to just think about that now. God has put that in your heart to believe. So that's two things that he's given. He's given the spirit of power and the spirit of love, and he says he's given us the spirit of an ordered mind. And that's a mindset. And when I say given, I want you to think of sharing. It's not just giving it. And God gives us power. He is sharing his power. You don't get an allotment of power and that's yours. When it runs out, you're done, because it never stops, because you're sharing it with him all the time. When you're given the love of God, it's not just so much that can last you for a little time. You're always sharing that love. It is always there. Because you're actually sharing, if you want to get down to what it should feel like, let's bring feelings into it. The love that we've been given to share is the kind of love that Jesus, as a human being, had with his Father. There's no other way you can compare the love of humanity to the love of God outside of Jesus, a human being, and the Father. That is the model, that's the template, that's the reality. And we're in Jesus and we are sharing the same love that he has with the Father and receiving the same love that the Father has with Jesus. But surely the Father must love Jesus more than us. No, no, no. He says, you've loved them with the same love wherewith you have loved me. Wow. What a package that is. So we've got it. But then what he's given us is the spirit of an ordered mind. And that's the mindset of Christ. It's the mindset of non-separation. We've been given an ordered mind. That's a renewed mind. God with us, always, in all things. An ordered mind is the result of a connected heart. You might think, oh, now I think an ordered mind would be having a high IQ, being really good at mathematics. Tell you what, you can get tremendous mathematicians and people with high IQs whose minds are terribly disordered and all over the place. See, an ordered mind knows what comes first. An ordered mind is the result of a connected heart. It's not knowing about God with concepts of the mind that gives us an understanding of God. Doesn't matter how intelligent you are, that won't cut it. It is knowing from the heart that you are one with God, that's where he dwells. The heart is a far more a greater organ of intelligence than the mind is. It is able to know wisdom. In fact, the heart instructs the mind in wisdom. It's the heart that connects to God. God dwells in our hearts by faith. A connected heart pushes through the mindset of separation. Whatever you're going through right now, if you feel isolated, you feel helpless, you feel, I need more support. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to endure it? Push through that mindset of being isolated and disconnected. Push through and touch, reach out, touch God by faith. That is your heart connecting. Your mind will be telling you, who do you think you are, like that poor lady? But your heart will say, I am one with you, Lord. In you I live and move and have my being. You dwell with me in my heart. Now push through that, because God wants you to be successful at who he created you to be. He wants you to be the best at being who you are. And that's not going to come into your head. I mean, it will come into your head when your heart instructs your mind of who you are, that you are one with God. When you allow your heart to start telling your mind that that's true, you start to realize who you really are, and you become the person you were created to be. And you start to act like the person you were created to be. That's why you stir up the gift of who you are. Do you know that you're a gift to everybody sitting around you? People might say, well, what good am I to anybody? I know of people that have had severe shortcomings, perhaps in their own estimation of themselves. They felt they weren't able to be anything for anybody. And yet I've seen shining through people, those same people that thought so little of themselves, the beauty of kindness and compassion and love. And they can be the best person that God created them to be. They are a gift to us. I want to read you Psalm 16, verse 7. David says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart instructs me in times of challenge. So let's throw off right now the slavery to fear. Let's just, as we I'm going to pray and we're going to recollect the fact that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of an ordered mind. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts, for the gift of who we are, that you want that to be the best of what you planned it to be. And that it's not just ours to have on our own, it's something you share with us. Every good gift is something you're sharing with us now, and it's something that we can share with one another. Those we love, we can reach out and allow them to receive the best that you have for them, because we can touch you and release your power and love and order into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.